were talking about Yehuda and Palestine, and it's really interesting to note. It shows how overly stupid most people are, ignorant, irrational. Is there any place, from an archaeological point of view, where the name Palestine exists? Could you find it on a building, on a monument, on a national coinage system?
No, their culture was not that advanced. They had nothing.
So there was a people named the Philistines, but they did not have an alphabet or writing system.
No,
they never built a building that has retained stood the test of time. In fact, there's no archaeological evidence whatsoever.
They even exist.
They even exist, right?
Outside of the Torah province and so on.
Right. They're mentioned in the prophets and Psalms.
Isn't that the irony of all ironies?
Yeah, so it's really interesting that since they're only mentioned, they're only known to us by what is written in Yahweh's Torah, prophets, and Psalms. If they exist, then 100% of what can be known about them is presented in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And according to the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the last of them ceased to exist when the Assyrians came through, not to attack them, they were too meaningless, but just to deal with the Egyptians. They obliterated. They obliterated them. So if the Torah, prophets, and Psalms are true, then the people named the Philistines, of which Palestinian has been derived, and Palestine, they do not exist. And they have not existed for well over 2,000 years. And even when they did exist, they had absolutely no claim to or no presence in Yehuda, Israel, or Jerusalem. None. Absolutely none. And if the Torah, prophets, and Psalms is untrue, then the people never existed.
Good point.
All right, so how could you be so blankety-blank stupid that you would not only claim there's a place called Palestine and a people called Palestinians, but that they, not Jews, have a historical right to the place? When Yahweh said exactly the opposite, and he is the only source of information these people even existed. I mean, it just shows you how defiant, how rebellious, how utterly confused, deceitful, deluded humankind is, and especially the academics and the political types, the societal leaders, the scholars, who's used such perverse terms. The moment you use the word, you're saying, I am really stupid.
Yeah.
I am completely ignorant. In fact, I am actually delusional and deceptive. You ought not trust anything I have to say.
Well, I used to do things like this in college, things that I knew were wrong about, mm-hmm. Whether it be religion or history, and I would point those out to my professors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a good thing.
They have a conniption fit, don't they?
And that was way back in the early 70s.
Right. Yeah, and what they'll do is, because they can't argue the point with evidence and reason, they go right to ad hominem, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they attack you, and they also remind you they control your grades, and if you stay on the dean's list, you better... This is not a good idea.
Better shut up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, and capitulate. Now, the capital of Yehuda was named Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is a must be a Palestinian word, right?
Sorry, wrong.
How about a Roman word, a Latin word?
No.
Helen, Greek?
No.
Mitzrayim, Egyptian?
No.
How about Arabic?
I'm afraid not. They kind of came a lot later.
Yeah, it was. It's a Hebrew word. It is from Yara, and shalom. Yara is the basis of Torah. It means source from which teaching, instruction, guidance, and direction flow.
Mm-hmm.
And shalom is reconciliation.
Yeah.
Put them together.
Restoring us. Now, if Hebrew is the oldest language...
It's the only oldest...
And it was the original language before...
I know. I don't think Hebrew is... Yes. Hebrew is the oldest language, and that is the language that was spoken in the garden. It's the language that was spoken immediately outside of the garden.
Right.
So it was the mankind's original language, and it was also the language that Yahweh communicated with the likes of Adam and Noah and also with Abraham, as well as through Moshe. And it's the oldest alphabet. You know, in terms of a phonetic alphabet, it's the oldest phonetic alphabet in the world. When a phonetic alphabet, by all historical standards, is man's single greatest achievement. And that achievement was first manifest in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. So God probably knows where his home is and what language he wants to speak.
You think if he's referring to it as Yehuda, it's not Palestina?
Yeah, well, if I was representing him, if I was the Pope trying to pretend I'm representing him, I might add those to my repertoire.
You think that if you can create the three-dimensional language that we refer to as DNA,
yeah,
and if you're able to conceive a universe out of words, then you might be able to communicate using words in an intelligent way?
Yeah, you would think.
And you would think that if you were God and you communicated these words, that a man would not be so presumptuous to change your words to fit his proclivities, would you?
Yeah.
Anyway. This message is for Yehuda and Jerusalem. Then he says, it shall come to pass in the last days. Is there any way, Kirk, that we can tell when the last days are likely to occur?
Well, there's so many prophecies that give us clues that when you add up all the clues, it's quite simple and straightforward to me. But it's the end times, and we have everything from the numbers 6 to 7 being complete when he returns. Joined us all the way from every prophecy.
Like, for example, the fourth day.
They give you benchmarks along the way, and all you have to do is say, well, gosh, that's the return of Israel. We knew when they left, when they were dispersed in the diaspora.
There are hundreds and hundreds of clues.
Literally, yeah.
That provide the timeline of the 6 + 1 = 7. Of which we are now nearing year 6000. The fact that 33 CE was year 4000. That year 2000 was when Abraham, Yishak, Yahweh, and Yahusha affirmed the celebration of Pesach and everything that Pesach represents on this very same mountain in this very same place, Moriah, and Jerusalem and Yehuda. That was year 2000, 2,000 years later, in year 33 CE, we have Yosha fulfilling the first four of these Moet Mikre. And then you add 40 Yobel, or 2,000 years, to 33 CE, and you end up with 2033.
Right.
So that'd be year 6,000, But there are so many other affirmations. For example, when he talked about the generation that witnesses the return of Yisrael, to Yisrael, Yehudim to Yisrael, that would be...
That's a benchmark.
Yeah, that would be the last generation. That generation would witness his return. And whether you think that happened in 1948 when Yisrael was declared a independent state and Yehudim from around the world immigrated back to their homeland, or in 1967, when following the Six Days War, they captured their this city that I was talking about, Jerusalem.
But then, if you only knew a little bit about the Yobel year, now we can be very specific. within yes. that same time frame because right. there's only one left.
Yeah, since 33 CE, when Yosha fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, Bekodah, and Shavuot, was clearly a Yobel year, a Yobel year of 2000 or 4000 Yah. That means that of the years remaining within the generational life of those who witness Yisrael's return, there's only one Yobel.
Yeah, we only have one opportunity, yeah.
2033, that's it.
Well, the odds it'll be on that one. Pretty good, I think.
100%.
I bet on that one.
100%. You know, there's this new thing that's the Hagee's the minister who I lambasted for his blood moons
right.
long before the blood moons occurred, told him that everything that he said here was utter nonsense, and anyone who buys this book and believes his rubbish ought to have their heads examined, and that I would say with absolute certainty that nothing was going to materialize with his blood moons that were transpired last year. He is now on a crusade to say that the next Jubilee year, he doesn't know that it's a Yobel, is going to be in 2028. And how all these marvelous things, including, I guess, the second coming is going to occur then in 2028. It's just utterly stupid that people can't do the math. You know, when Daniel was given the prophetic proclamation about the arrival of Yosha in Jerusalem, where he was going to be cut off, but not for himself, it's
down
4 days. Yes, 4 days before Pesach
mm-hmm.
in 33 CE.
Okay. Pretty
this is not hard, folks. You can do the math. And why is it 4 days before Pesach? Because when does the Passover lamb come into the home?
Right.
4 days before Pesach. And by the way, isn't 33 CE the only year within 3 or 4 years in either direction where the timing of a Pesach occurs on a Thursday evening at sundown and continues through Friday so that matzah occurs on a natural Shabbat
right.
and that Shabuah occurs or Bekodim occurs on the first day of the week? Isn't that the only year where the eyewitness accounts mesh?
Now we're never on that week.
So it couldn't have been in 28. In 28, I think Pesach was on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, once again, if you replace Pesach with Easter,
mm-hmm.
then you have no clue.
You have no clue, yeah. Then you're, you know, and if you replace Sukkah with Christmas, you're so clueless.
Yeah, then you're never going to get there from here.
If you replace Yosha with Jesus, if you replace the Torah with your New Testament, you just can't figure it out. I mean,
and then you can't call it a Yobel year because if you have to call it a Jubilee because otherwise you can't figure out why you're calling that with a Y and the other one with a J, and then you got the Jesus thing.
Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this was about what was going to happen, and Yehudah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. We are in the last days, folks. Now, we aren't in the very last of last days.
We're darn close. You can see.
Yeah, but you can subtract 7 years, if you'd like, from 2033, which is year 6,000 Yah, and you can get to 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lesser tribulation, first 3.5 years, will begin in 2026 in the fall. And then in I think it's a Friday, April 13th in 2029 for you Trisodacophobiacs. That's when the asteroid Apophis hits and we hit the midday of the tribulation and start the Great Tribulation. And then 3.5 years from that is when Yosha returns. Actually, it's Yahweh returning, and it's not his second coming. It'll be his seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set your calendar to that. It's just what's going to happen. Now, the days leading up to it would be considered the last days. The days of the tribulation would be considered the last days. The days of the Great Tribulation would be considered the last days. And if you wanted the epitome, I mean the absolute definitive last days, it would be the 5 days between Yom Kippurim, which is the day he's going to return, the Day of Reconciliations, by the way, with Yehuda and Yisrael, not with a Gentile church, and Sukkah. Those would be the very last of the last days. And it shall come to pass in the last days, the house, the home, and family of Jesus Christ. No. Of the Lord. No. Sorry. Of Allah.
No. Probably.
No. Of mankind.
No, the socialist.
Of America. Of the Roman Catholic Church. Of the Pope.
Nice try, but wrong.
The house, home, and family of whom?
Yahweh's home and family, his Ba'ath covenant members.
But wait, did he say his mansion?
No.
Did he say his temple?
No, sir.
Did he say his shrine?
No. No, no.
Did he say his mausoleum? Did he say his basilica? Did he say his cathedral?
Oh, no, no.
Did he say his capital?
No, he's very...
Did he say his fortress?
Right. No. It's always home. It's always family.
Ba'ath. Family, home, and house. Ba'ath of Yahweh. In proximity to the summit of the first and foremost mountain of the mountains, lifted up, supported, and sustained as part of these elevated places. Now, why do you think that he went to all this list? It's going to be, you know, right next to the summit, in proximity to the summit of the first and foremost mountain of the mountains that is lifted up, supported, and sustained in these elevated places. Is Zion a mountain in of itself?
It's the area. I mean, right. there's three mountains. Three landmarks he's talking about.
Yeah, there's three important places on Moriah that are referred to as the Zion signposts along the way.
Along the way, yeah.
But Moriah is a ridgeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying along that ridgeline, near the summit of that ridgeline, is where his house is going to be.
Right.
What's at the bottom of the ridgeline?
Is that where the temple is at the bottom?
No, it's the middle.
Okay, then it's got to be, the other part would be the
Dode's home. Dode's home. They found the foundations of it. It's at the very lowest part of the ridgeline that is the ridgeline of Moriah. That's where Dode's home is. Is Yahweh's home going there?
No, that's Dode's home, but it's over.
That wouldn't be the summit, would it?
No.
No. And the Temple Mount, is that the summit of Mount Moriah?
No, that's just where the Ark
threshing,
of the Covenant.
That's where the threshing floor of was, where the Ark of the Covenant was stored. Right now it's been unbelievably desecrated.
Yes.
By the most hideous of all monuments to Satan. The Dome of the Rock and the furthest mosque, Al-Aqsa Mosque. You think Yahweh is going to do what other religions have done, like with the Muslims have done, and they're going to repurpose the Temple Mount to build their shrines, or to repurpose the cathedral that Constantine built to make it their largest mosque, and from his cathedral to the Bloom? Is he going to do that?
He has a tendency to wipe the slate clean and start over. So.
In fact, he even says so in Yeshayah, that I'm going to obliterate all traces of that. He's not going to put his home on something that is so polluted. He's not going to build his home in a cesspool of religious rubbish.
I think that's his first statement on the stone, isn't it? No God's in proximity to me.
There you go. And Allah ain't God, folks.
Allah ain't God, no.
No. And so... the summit. You know, it's interesting. He said that he's left this place lifted up, supported, and sustained. It's interesting that that now the area of Dode's home is just littered with all sorts of Muslim slums.
Mm-hmm.
And the Temple Mount is not only littered with
religious,
Islamic, satanic shrines, but the area around it has got all sorts of Byzantine, Christian,